So it's the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible.
Woo!
Yay! So, you know, it's 400 years, and that is longer than America has existed.
Yes, you know.
people say the Bible was written so long ago, and that it's old and cannot relate to us today. Is this true?
I don't think so.
Of course, we don't believe it's true.
Well, it says, no, even it says in the Bible, Isaiah 46:9, it says, remember the former things of the old, because it is to help us. Like, you know, everyone says, like, history repeats itself, you know, kind of thing. So, like, you know, even in the Bible, I think kind of teaches us, like, even the old, even if it's, like, old stories, like, old, old, as in, like, even to the Adam and Eve. I mean, we can still learn from it.
Yes.
And, you know, God is past, present, and future. So, he is, he knows every, there's no, like, he's not restricted in time. You know, so I definitely think, even though it was written long ago, it was written for the future, even back then.
I believe, if you are really willing to learn something, you know, perhaps it's from the Bible, no matter how old it is, you will try to learn. You could pick up things from the old things or new things that you never knew before.
Yeah, I mean, it is, the Bible is still bestseller, you know? It's still bestseller. Yeah, it is. It's kind of interesting.
And most translated book.
Most translated book. And, you know, Bible is the truth.
That's what we believe in.
Well, it says, okay, now we go back. It says in the Bible, John 17:17, Bible is a truth.
Yeah.
My word is a truth.
Yeah.
We're talking about atheists and their point of view.
Even Christians, there's a somewhat recent in line of, in the thought of world history is somewhat recent, but criticism of the Bible, they call it higher criticism, became to be a lot more popular. And basically what it is beginning to, people are beginning to criticize the validity of the Bible and see if it, if this really was inspired. And this is in Christian theological schools, this is in seminary, where people will begin to debate and say, this part was inspired, this part was not inspired. And essentially what they're doing is tearing apart what the Bible really stands for. And so we're, you may say, yes, we as Christians may believe that, but not necessarily. Not all Christians believe the same way.
Even though it says in the Bible that all scriptures were inspired?
Yeah, I mean, even they may even say that part wasn't inspired. So I guess... Yeah,
that's where the faith comes in, really, because we believe in something called faith, where we cannot see him, but we still believe that he exists in our life. And that same thing as the Bible, if you need faith in order to believe that Bible is the truth, the only truth.
Not, yes, true, but then I just want to go to the definition of faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I mean... This is almost like a knee-jerk response whenever people ask us, what is faith? We go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and we say, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen.
Evidence.
Right. There is evidence to prove what faith is, to base your foundation of faith. And so what are some evidences that we can give to show that the Bible is God's word?
Well, I mean, if the history matches with the Bible, then that's one thing.
Mm-hmm. Like prophecy.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. I mean, people used to say that a lot of the prophecies were actually written in a historical perspective, like after the event took place, mm-hmm. they wrote it down. Mm-hmm. But recently, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they dated it back and realized, hey, this is actually a really old document. Mm-hmm. And almost word for word, it's been preserved. And they say, hey, this was actually written before Jesus came, before long, long, long time ago. And so they prove that it actually was written to predict the future. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, mm-hmm. prophecy would be an excellent way to prove to other people that Bible is true.
And it's not old.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the thing is, I kind of agree with Stephen in a way that you kind of need some sort of faith to believe that everything is true, because, you know, there are so many things in the world that you cannot trust.
Yes.
So, you know, like, if it's just a regular people, if we say, oh, this is the word of God, even if we can show, like, you know, all scriptures are, you know, inspired by, you know, Holy Spirit and God, and even if we show that, they're going to be like, you know, how do we know? You know, so, mm-hmm. you know, because there are so many errors and, you know,
could be very skeptic.
Yeah, deceivings.
But I think one thing that you cannot deny is especially prophecy in Daniel 2, mm-hmm. you know, it matches up. So you can't really deny it. It happened in history, mm-hmm. you know, and even people who aren't Christians, historians said, like, yes, this did happen. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, so Bible, it can apply to us today, and we need some faith to understand it. But is there ever an end point in studying the Bible? Like, you know, we always say, oh, adults are wise, and mm-hmm. they know everything. But, you know, recently, there was an 80-year-old man who finally graduated college after 51 years of planning to graduate college. And, he's 80 years old. He has a granddaughter. He has sons and daughters that went to college, but he is the first out of his brothers and sisters who went to graduate mm-hmm. college. And it kind of teaches us that you're never too late to learn. Mm-hmm. So, you know, here we can apply this saying that it's never too late to learn the Bible. And, you know, even until you die, you can still study mm-hmm. it.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I think that's one of the evidences to show that Bible is true and is relevant, because it can be relevant to me as a 20-something-year-old. It can be relevant to a teenager. It can be relevant to a 90-year-old. It can be relevant to anybody in every stage of life.
Mm. And the things you learn from the Bible, it seems endless, mm-hmm. truly. Mm-hmm. Some people pick up things that no mm-hmm. one has ever picked up. And it's those things happen over and over with different kinds of people. And I see that every time you look at a certain part of the scripture, depending on how you read it or what you're going through, you pick up things that you never realized before. Mm-hmm. And I see that as something no other books can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bible says about itself in Hebrews, it says that the Word of God is quick and is powerful. It means that it's living, it's powerful. It's a living book. Mm-hmm. And so it speaks living words.
We can read the same verse, but it might touch you. It might touch us differently.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then, according to, you know, this Bible was written thousands of years ago, and people say, like, calendars have changed, times have changed, how we calculate things. So, can we be accurate with the Bible?
Hmm.
Like, is it accurate?
Is it accurate? Is it applicable?
Not applicable. Like, you know, anyone, if they have faith and if they read it, mm-hmm. they can be like, oh, yes, this applies to my life. I can mm-hmm. learn from this. But is it accurate as in...
can we trust it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Hmm. I think a lot of people have that question concerning, like, people who are critics of becoming Christians will say, well, how can I trust the Bible? There are so many different versions, so many different... Mm. Yeah, I mean, we have the same, people may have the same Bible, and yet there are literally thousands of denominations. Mm. How can that be possible? You all
thousands?
Yeah, there. How can really
thousands of denominations?
Christian we don't know about them, everybody. But then there are many sects, and how can there be actually one Bible and everybody's so divided when the Bible is teaching unity? You know, that's a very good question. What would you say to somebody who actually says that?
Well, that's very, like, we see that's very sad in that perspective of having so many denominations out of a single Bible. And basically, we believe in God, the same God, but I think we really have to be careful on how we really read the Bible. I think there is a correct way you mm-hmm. could learn things from the Bible, not putting your own opinions or not just putting words here and there together to make up things that actually applies and that actually makes favor for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of things I think you have to watch out for.
Also, like, what kind of Bible you use is important too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, mm-hmm. Going back to so many different versions of the Bible, now, you mentioned in the beginning that I'm going to bring something up that's kind of controversial, but it's the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible. But of course, you know, the Bible's been around a lot longer than 400 years. Mm-hmm. But why is it significant that we read King James versus, say, NIV or
any other version?
Yeah.
Is it important to read King James? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, see, many people will actually say, you know, it really doesn't matter what version of the Bible that you use, because ultimately people go back to the original manuscripts and then they translate it into our modern vernacular. Mm-hmm. And they say this is exactly what Martin Luther and every other people did, because they gave the Bible in the common language of the common people. Mm-hmm. True, you need to write the Bible so that people can understand. Mm-hmm. But then the question is, what source are you going to? Because if you were to go to, I'm not going to bore everybody with historical documentation, but basically there are two streams of the Bible that you can go to. One is from East, one is from the West. The
east?
One, east of the world.
Okay.
The one that came from the East was actually, they call it Eastern Syriac, Syrians. Mm-hmm. They preserved it, and it's considered to be a pure source. You take every single manuscript, compare it with one another, and it's all the same. They agree. Mm-hmm. But then you take the Western Alexandrian, the one that came from the West. Mm-hmm. It was corrupted. People began to modify it to make it applicable to what they believed in. And eventually, mm-hmm. these two streams come to modern day, and Eastern Syriac, which now eventually later on came to be known as Textus Receptus, is what we have in King James Version. Mm-hmm. But then almost every single modern version that we have today, the only exception that I know of is New King James Version, which does not apply, but almost every single modern day translation of the Bible get their sources from the Western source.
Okay.
And so you'll see a common thread amongst all of them. Michelle, I want to see if you can pull something up. You can take... Oh man, I wish we had...
I do have NIV.
With you?
No. With me.
Okay, let's go online. I think Bible.com.
Bible.com?
Yeah, Bible.com should give us all different versions of the Bible.
I'm pretty sure
okay.
It's like a
okay.
Sales.
Well, first thing, King James Version.
Okay. But let's go to New King James. No, not New King James. NIV. New International Version.
International Version.
Do we have nothing? Okay, just click on anything. Any modern version.
Any modern version. Okay,
yeah.
Let's do New American Standard Bible.
Okay.
Go
Alright. Can you go to certain passages?
Let's go to BibleGateway.com. Okay. Okay. So, you want NIV?
Sir? Sure. But really, any modern day version would apply.
Okay.
And let's take the first text that comes out in that illustration. The web page, this one previously.
Okay. So, Matthew 18, verse 11.
Okay. Stephen, can you read that verse for us?
Matthew 18:11.
Mm-hmm.
For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost.
Okay, Michelle, can you read NIV?
There is no 11.
It's not there.
It's not there.
It's missing, completely
really?
Gone.
Their note really? Is some manuscripts include here the words of Luke 19:10.
Right. But then take this verse. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Important verse, yes or no?
Yes.
Very important verse. Completely gone, just not even there in the manuscript.
I never knew this. Really?
Take any other man.
Wait. Is there, how about, what does it say in verse 10 though? What if they combined from 11 and 10?
No, they didn't.
Can you read verse 10?
See that you do not despise one of these little things, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven.
Okay, yes. And then verse 11, just not there at
wow.
all.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Want another one?
That is pretty.
Should we go for another one?
That's amazing.
What about Mark 15:28, since we're
okay.
just one book over.
Mark what?
The spell. My NIV.
Oh, you did have your NIV.
I guess I did. Mark 15 what?
28.
Okay, 28.
Okay, I'll read from the Authorized Version. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors.
Can you tell us what it means first? What the verse means?
Okay, he's quoting the Old Testament where he's saying he was numbered with the transgressions. Mm. Transgressors. He's quoting the Old Testament saying he bore our sins.
Mm. Oh. I don't know if camera can zoom in my Bible, but it says it has 27, verse 27.
You don't need to zoom in because we could put it up.
Oh. Verse 27 and verse 29. No verse 28.
Yeah, no verse 27.
Wait, let me see.
Don't rip my...
I want to see.
27, 29.
There's no 28.
Wait, I have a good one. I have a good one.
There are even... Okay,
I have a good one. Matthew chapter 23, verse 14.
Well, I think that's pretty obvious. Like, there's no number.
Yeah.
That comes after what? I don't get how that makes... I never realized that.
You take any modern version of the Bible... with the exception, my only exception that I know of is King James and New King James, which go back to the original source of the Eastern manuscript, and they don't have these things. But then almost every single modern version uses the Western manuscript, and so they share the same pattern.
But most of the people in the world uses NIV and, like, you know, Western translated Bible.
And that could be actually the reason why there's so many different beliefs. Yeah, because many of the verses that actually came out, I mean, we'll look at this one, but then many of the verses actually support different doctrines. I'll show you another one, but let's look at this one.
Okay, wait, time out just to review. So right now, you know, we want to prove that there are different versions of the Bible, which can lead to why there are so many denominations in this world. And we're gonna there's another passage right here that shows that King James Version is a correct and more pure version than other versions.
Well,
so
before we go in, I want to question, how do you know that this is the right, you know, original manuscript? Because, like you said, the Western version, they added some stuff, they took out some stuff. How do you know this wasn't just added in there in the King James Version?
Right, because all of them agree. All of the Eastern versions, they agree. And they know the history of the Syrians, how they copied it and eventually was passed down to the Walden Seas and so forth. They were very, very careful in the way that they copied their Bible. You know, the Bible was actually written by hand in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And they call them illuminated Bibles because they have all sorts of designs. They would actually do that by hand, and they would write it out very carefully. And if they make one little line mistake, they would rip that whole part out to start over again. And so a lot of times the Bible, in order to make the entire Bible, it required a whole lifetime.
And also think about it. I mean, we just went over a text in the NIV where it just skipped a number. Why would they skip a number instead of just keep on going on?
Oh, yes, I guess that's a good point.
But I really want to read this one. Matthew 23, verse 14, it says, in King James Version, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the great damnation."
Greater damnation.
Greater damnation. Now in NIV.
It's not there.
Yeah.
Oh man, do they skip that one too?
Yeah.
Yes.
But then they're not all of them are just completely not there. Some of them, certain parts are not there. There's a Lord's Prayer.
Luke 11:2. This is fun.
And where are you getting these sources from? That all this text.
They're online. You just go online and look it up.
Difference
right.
between
KJV versus whatever, and there's a whole controversy about it. Mm. But just looking at it from a Christian perspective, okay? Let's look at the Lord's Prayer. Luke 11:22.
Chapter 9, verse 2.
Verse 2, okay. And he said unto them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." Now this is the Lord's Prayer, right?
King James, right?
Yeah, King James Version. Can you read that in NIV?
He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation."
Okay, it seems like there's not much of a difference, right?
Okay.
Because the main thought is there. But then here's what it did leave out. Verse 2, let's look at it over again. He said unto them, "When ye pray, Our Father
which art in heaven."
Is that in there?
No.
It's not there. Why is that important?
Because God is in heaven.
Which Father are you talking about?
Jesus. Mm. No, God.
God the Father. But let's say that you're a Catholic. You read this and say, "Our Father, hallowed be thy name." You see how you can actually mislead this to say this is actually talking about Pope. Father. They call him Holy Father. "Our Father, hallowed be thy name." And so they literally take out "which art in heaven."
This is freaky. We should stop this.
So, you know,
that is pretty scary.
The truth, honest truth, is that the Alexandrian source ultimately was, did have papal sources that actually supported papal doctrine. And so a lot of the doctrines that you would actually get from here, what you would actually read from here, you would not read that from...
But I don't
translate.
Understand because, you know, most of the denominations right now is the reformers, you know, like mm-hmm. Baptists, you know,
Methodist.
Presbyterians, Methodists, you know, or Luther.
Mm-hmm. Lutheran.
Lutheran, yeah. You know, they're reformers. Why do they use the Western, you know, versions of the Bible, which came from the, you know, papacy?
Yeah. That only came out recently, you know, for many, many hundreds of years. This was perfectly fine. This was acceptable. But then somewhat recently, people started to begin making new versions, which they say improve this. I mean, I do admit that there are some wordings and some things in the King James that just sometimes can be confusing. I'll give you an example. Revelation. Revelation
13?
22. Oh. No, not 22. Revelation 20. Okay, let's look at this. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived not and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is talking about, in theological terms, they call it millennium. Mill, talking about 1,000, annum, meaning years. Okay? But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years was finished. Okay? This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, I don't know if you were paying attention. It says after the 1,000 years has passed, there will be a resurrection. Okay? Is this the resurrection of the righteous, resurrection of the wicked?
Resurrection of the wicked?
It's of the wicked, right?
Oh, wicked.
But it says the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's the resurrection of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first resurrection. Now, this is confusing. You see?
Yes.
It would be better if this is the first resurrection belonged with verse 6. You see that? That would make more sense. This is the first resurrection, blessed and holy is that has part in the first resurrection. Of course, there's a blessing on those who are resurrected in first resurrection, but there is no blessing for those who are resurrected in second resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are mistakes, well, I won't call them mistakes, but there are better ways that we could have arranged the Bible, be it verses, punctuations, or wordings, that would have actually worked out better if it would have been this way. Mm-hmm. But sadly, they're not.
Not even just that, I think, like, you know, that, yes, like, you know, there are some improvements in that way, but I'm talking about, like, just the regular people reading King James. The Lord saith, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, it is really old language, so, like, it could be boring
mm-hmm.
for some young people.
Yeah.
And, you know, for children, they will not understand.
I mean, like, already, you know, it is, says, like, 18 to 29-year-olds, they have felt like reading the Bible is like homework, where it's associated with right interpretation of wrong ones and accompanied by stern lectures from the pulpit. And they're like, you know, already reading the Bible itself is boring. But reading King James Version, I mean, I think that would even narrow it down even more to people who do read the Bible.
Was news, statistics? Where did the 18
it's from
to 29?
Statistics from CNN made a report about it. But, I mean, if we say, like, oh, you know, King James Version is right version, you know, it's so confusing with the thee, thy, say, it hath. And they would be like, oh, it's boring, old language.
Mm.
It's more, it, like, makes the Bible less appealing even more.
Yeah.
Mm.
I have to agree with that.
But, yes, go ahead.
Mm. Yeah. Honestly, when I first heard this, I will... Okay, the way that I first came to know Christ personally was through the Bible, and it was not King James. Somebody had passed out surveys, and they said, would you like a grab bag? And I said, yeah, sure, I like free stuff, and all you have to do is fill out this this survey, and they listed out certain things, and I filled out the survey, and I got this grab bag, and in it was, like, you know, Christian CD and little toy ball, and in the very end there was a Bible, and it was a NIV Bible. I had no idea there was such a thing as different versions of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know there was such a thing as New Testament, Old Testament, what the difference was. But then it sat in my car for a long time until I had absolutely nothing to read, and eventually I pulled it out when I had nothing to read, and I started reading. I had tried to read the Bible before. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and that didn't appeal to me. But then when I started to read this Bible, I started to understand a little bit more. And then I remember that was actually when I first read the Bible for myself. And I remember I went to the pastor of church and I said, hey, you know what? I realize there's such thing as different versions of the Bible. They're not all King James, and this is great. And he he told me the same thing. He said, you know, that's true. There are different versions of the Bible, but there's a Western source and there's an Eastern source, and King James is from the Eastern source, from the uncorrupted source. And he said this would be actually the better Bible to use. And he said, at first, he was New Zealand. He was from New Zealand. He says, at first, it's like tofu. Okay? I'm like, where are you going with this? He says, it's like tofu. When I first tried tofu, it's like, ew, what is this stuff? It's nasty. I mean, he was working in a Korean church, and he said, this is nasty. I mean, but then he said, after a while, he starts to really enjoy tofu. And the Bible is much the same way. At first, it can be like tofu, where it's like, this doesn't fit my appetite. Mm-hmm. But then after a while, you start to really enjoy it.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, like, when I was like a beginning Christian, beginner Christian, I tried to read the Bible because, like, that, you know, they say the Bible is important, why don't you read it? So, like, I kept reading it, but I had a hard time, like, understanding it and enjoying the Bible. But now I do enjoy. But, like, I know many Christian young friends that I have don't really think reading the Bible is very important. If as long as we go to church, believe in Jesus Christ, you know, that is a Christianity. Mm-hmm. What do we say to that?
It's, like, I think, because everyone's so preoccupied with something, they think it's more important. Maybe, let's say, schoolwork,
yes,
homework, or even playing games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things attract your attention more than the Bible.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's harder for them to actually sit down and read the Bible.
Yeah. And, like, with all that, you know, busyness in life, like, you know, schoolwork and games, friends, just whatnot, and computer, internet, you know, like, after all that, you try to sit down end of the day and try to read some Bible. Are you really going to take that in? I just really wonder.
That's why, you know, they say the best time to read the Bible is in the morning. When, and not only is it like fresh mind, you don't have any thoughts in your head and you can read the Bible clearly, but also, if you watch a TV show in the morning, it sticks with you throughout the day. Same with the Bible. If you read one verse or a chapter, how much you want, and you read that in the morning, it sticks with you the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also, if you have that, the Word of God in your mind and in your heart for at least that whole day, you not only do you feel closer with God, but also it can help you to be like, restrain some temptations.
Because the Bible reveals, you know, God and who God is.
Yes.
Like, I really like this verse, John 5:39. It's Jesus taught, John 5:39. It's Jesus saying to us, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So, you know, if you say you love Jesus, then I have to tell my friends, then, you know, if you love Jesus, Jesus says, search the scriptures, because then ye think ye have eternal life. And, you know, the scriptures testify of Jesus. So you would have to study scriptures to know who really God is.
Exactly. Because
it is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Mm. It is His Word.
I think it would be very difficult for a Christian to keep his spiritual Christian life without going to the source of his power. It would be very difficult to live a Christian life without the Bible at all.
Yeah. So, and just to review everything so we can all can remember again, you know, Bible is very important, and it can only help us. It cannot harm us. And, you know, if we feel like, oh, we can't study the Bible, it's boring, we can pray to God and ask for Him to give us the clear mind and the understanding. Mm-hmm. And it's important also that, you know, King James Version, people might say it's old, it's boring language, but it is the purest version, and it is the fullest version too. Mm. And so we should remember that, you know, if possible, try reading it one day, King James Version, and that Bible, it was written thousands of years ago, but you know, God is everything, so. Mm.
Oh.
It applies to all of us.
Also, one more thing that I would like to add, mm-hmm. is speaking in light of King James Version, what about people overseas? You know, people who speak a different language, they don't speak English.
So it's like, mm-hmm. a different language translation.
Yeah, I mean, should... I know of different language versions of King James Version. Like, they would literally translate the King James Version in another language. I'm not so fond of that. The reason why is because the principle is that you should actually go to the original source. It's not that the King James is actually the most accurate. I actually believe that Martin Luther's version is more accurate than King James in many places. And so it's not that King James is accurate, it's the original source that is accurate. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there may be certain Bibles in a certain language, and there are different versions. I know Korean has many different versions of the Bible. It matters not if it's King James or not. It matters what source they're getting their mm-hmm. source from. And like some of the verses that we looked at, those will reveal what kind of Bible you're actually using.
Because mm-hmm. most Christians just do think, oh, Bible is Bible. You mm-hmm. know, everything is the same. But, you know, that really freaked me out. Some verses just missing.
Yeah. So. Especially the Son of God came to save us. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't expect they would take one out. Because that one's very important, you know.
Yes, mm-hmm. that is very important. Well, everything is important.
Yes, everything is important.
The thing is, though, when it comes to actually reading the Bible, I think what it really matters is your interest in the Bible and the character of God,
mm-hmm.
that
yes.
willingness to actually learn of His character,
mm-hmm.
that you like, you have to choose. That is what I want to do instead of video games,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or instead of schoolwork, because
mm-hmm.
I believe that is more important to me.
Absolutely.
Than, you
so
know.
It's a choice. It's not something like God is just like, you know, giving you that spirit,
yeah.
you know, you want to read the
so
Bible.
So you don't just like,
yeah.
you know, because God didn't give me
yeah.
that spirit, I'm not going to read
yeah.
it,
mm-hmm.
because it's boring.
But it's
mm-hmm.
your choice.
Yeah,
right.
it is your choice.
And you know, sometimes you have to force yourself, but once you take that first step to read the Bible, you
mm-hmm.
end up really loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if it's hard, we should start with prophecy, because that is like, that's like better than a mystery book, you know?
Yes.
It's
prophecy
like,
is hard.
Yeah, but it's like so exciting, and yeah, I mean, I would love to read prophecy.
And to see that those things that said in the Bible
mm-hmm.
actually said
being
the
fulfilled.
Same thing in history books,
mm-hmm.
in worldly history books, same exact thing. It's like, wow,
mm-hmm.
can you really deny that it is not true?
Mm-hmm. Right. I might actually also include to say that, you know, the Bible likens itself, the Bible, like bread, like food that we eat. And just like in the physical world, if we don't eat our literal bread, then we're not going to live. Much in the same way, if we don't eat our spiritual bread, we're not going to live either.
Mm-hmm.
But then what about already chewed bread?
Hmm?
What do you mean?
Already chewed bread? Like...
Oh,
bread
I kind of get what you're saying. Those words that is maybe interpreted in different
no.
point of view.
I know. Is that right?
Like someone who already interpreted the Bible in different point of view, and that's already chewed.
Yes.
And then you're taking that in. So you're taking it from the second
yes,
person.
Yes, exactly.
You changed it because you were kind of wrong at the first. I was going to say that.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly what I'm talking about. We go to church every weekend and we hear the word of God. Great. Praise the Lord. I mean, as a Christian, we should go to church and we should hear God's word being preached at church. But what is that enough to suffice for us as Christians?
Oh.
It's already been chewed and it's already been given to you because it's made in digestible form. Yes, it's been spoon-fed to you. But ultimately, is that the end result or goal of what the church is, to spoon-feed you?
No.
We have to grow out of that spoon feeding and
exactly.
eat it ourselves.
Exactly. And so we actually have to take that bread and we have to learn to actually begin to start chewing it ourselves.
Yes.
I point to, I may have read this text before, but Acts chapter 11.
Were you going to talk about Thessalonian churches?
Yes.
Acts 17:11.
Yeah, thank you. monkey falls church off of a tree sometimes. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul comes to the Thessalonian church and begins to preach powerfully. And the Thessalonians say, oh, wow, this is great. And they received it with all readiness of mind. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. They became Christians. They were baptized. Great. There's a group of believers. There's a church in Thessalonica. But then he comes to Berea, the next place, and he says, these people were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the word with all readiness of mind? Yeah, they did that. But then not only that, it says that they searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so.
Mm-hmm.
And so they continued to search. Okay, Paul, I hear what you're saying. I think this is true. But let me go back and see if this is really in the Bible. And they went and searched for themselves in the Bible. And so when we hear a sermon being preached, whether it be from pastor or from a revival meeting, whatever it may be, it doesn't even have to be a sermon, it may be a Bible study, whatever it may be. It's our duty to actually take that and be able to digest it so that it becomes our own.
Mm.
If not...
And then it gives us assurance that that is a word of God.
Exactly. Because it's not because somebody else said it,
mm-hmm.
it's because the Bible said it, and it's what God said.
Mm-hmm.
So we can take all the Bible and say, you know, this, we can hear all the sermons that we want and say, wow, that was a great sermon,
mm-hmm.
but then it will do us no good if it doesn't become our own. Well, how does it become your own? You take the Bible and you study it. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As a matter of fact, the Bible says many things about itself. It says to study, it says to search the scriptures, we saw that. But then never does it say to read the Bible. Okay?
Why is actually,
study? I you know, there is one part in the Bible where Jesus himself says, you know, read Daniel, but then in order to understand Daniel, you actually have to study it. But yeah, we have to study the Bible for ourselves in order for it to benefit us any good.
Mm-hmm.
And so in light of is the Bible relevant for us today in year 2000 something, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is relevant, but it will absolutely do us no good if we don't take the Bible for what it is and digest it ourselves.
Okay.
So we as Christians, we have a duty not only to be at church and to hear sermons and whatnot, you know, praise the Lord for that, but then it is also our duty to study for ourselves, and that's the main thing that I want to emphasize today.
Thank you.